the context of the psalm that we're going to look at tonight is set in that account of David being pursued by Saul. And you can see that in the superscription of the psalm. Some of the psalms, as you know, they have these descriptions at the very beginning, giving us the context of the psalm. And if you look there on Psalm 34, a psalm of David, it says, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. And just as we look at the context of this psalm, I would like to just very quickly look at the passage of scripture that gives us this account. It's back in 1 Samuel chapter 21. So if you turn there just very quickly, and we'll just read through these verses. 1 Samuel chapter 21, in the context, Saul is pursuing David. This is obviously after David has killed Goliath. His life has been saved by Jonathan. And as we know, Saul, with his jealousy and his desire to kill David, is pursuing him. And we begin here in 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. It says, David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Gath, interestingly, is where Goliath was from. And the servants of Achish said to him, is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s, words spoken when David returned in victory. And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, and he pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So David, feigning his insanity, acting as a madman here, is able to escape. And so that's the setting of Psalm 34. And it says right there, as we just read, that David feared Achish and obviously fearing for his life. And I think that context gives extra meaning to this psalm as we read through it, because you think of David in that situation, in a time of such incredible isolation and danger. We see this psalm that's such a psalm of joy and such a desire for the community of God. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. It's a beautiful expression. Before we read through it, I just wanted to mention a couple things as well about the content of the psalm. This is one of the psalms that's an acrostic. It takes the 22 verses, each start with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So they're in the beautiful rhythm and the cadence of the verses, as you see that. And so it doesn't flow so much like a narrative, but yet there is flow and there is theme to this psalm. And one of the things that comes out beautifully in it is the union of worship and of witness. We'll see that as we read through it. And that's really a theme of our lives as Christ followers, isn't it? That we're worshiping God and we're sharing Christ. And those two are not so much separate activities, but part really of breathing in and breathing out, that we will continually be praising the Lord. And also, we see as we read through this psalm, the pattern and the rhythm of revelation and response. And that's really our Christian life, isn't it? God reveals himself to us and we respond. That's central not only in our worship, but in all of our Christian life. God has revealed himself to us through creation, through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his word. And we see him, we have a relationship with him through Christ, and we respond. And so we see that as we read through this psalm. Now I'm going to read straight through it, Let's read these verses together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer and want, and the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these incredible words. They're life to us, and we pray that as we look into your word, that your spirit would make these words, Father, alive in our hearts, and that tonight would be part of the process of having our minds renewed and our lives conformed to the image of your Son. Father, we do thank you and praise you and pray that you would teach us. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as we look through this and taking the approach of God's revelation and our response, we want to look at some of the principles in this psalm that are taught about God. What is God telling us about himself? And I think there are several of his attributes and his actions that are mentioned here. So I just want to list, there's about 9 or 10, and we want to list each one of these, or at least most of them. And the first one here in verse 4 is that God hears us and he delivers us. God hears us and he delivers us. The word deliver is found several times in this psalm, and it's a theme of the psalm. And we have this promise here. It's reflected in verse 6 as well. This poor man cried, probably the psalmist speaking of himself, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. God is our deliverer. He delivers those who love him. He hears us. Another benefit or blessing of the Lord in verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. God lifts the countenance of those who love him. Those who look to him are radiant. He uplifts our countenance, those who seek him. Verse 7, another great benefit of the Lord is that he is our protector and he is our defender. It says in verse 7 that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. God is our protector and our defender. So he delivers. He uplifts our countenance. He protects us. He defends us. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. We saw that this morning in Psalm 107 as Dr. Elmore spoke to us and stressing this principle that God is good. The Lord is good. It says in verse 9 and verse 10, we see there that the Lord supplies our needs. It says in Philippians, out of his riches in Christ Jesus, he provides for us. Verse 9, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. God supplies. And the psalmist here uses the picture of the lion at the top of the food chain. It's hard to imagine that the lion would go hungry, but the lions do suffer want and hunger. But those who seek the Lord, God is much greater. He provides. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. He is all sufficient. He supplies our needs. Another benefit of the Lord, look down in verse 15. It says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. Verse 17, with the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all of their troubles. So here we have the promise that God sees and that he hears, that he is watching over us. Think of an example of a parent watching over their child. How much greater is our Father in heaven that he watches over us. He's always paying attention divinely. He is always watching us, given here his eyes, the ears toward our cry, and he hears our cry for help. God is paying attention to us. He sees and hears. Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil to cut off the memory of them from the earth. So while the Lord looks with favor and is always watching on his chosen ones, those who do evil have the face of the Lord against them. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. He opposes the evil ones. These principles of the Lord, that he is our deliverer. He lifts our countenance. He protects and defends. Verse 8, he is good. Verses 9 and 10, he's all sufficient and he supplies our needs. He sees, he hears, he's watching us. He rejects the evil one. And a great rich promise here in verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. So in times in our lives where we have grief or great despair or great sadness, we know that we have here uniquely the Lord who's omnipresent, is present at all times, somehow uniquely manifests himself in a special way to the brokenhearted. Great promise for us to remember in times of difficulty. And it says too there that he saves the crushed in spirit. Think of the words of Paul in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 4, where he says he's struck down but not destroyed. He's afflicted in every way, but not crushed, not destroyed. The Lord saves those who are crushed in spirit. So, and then lastly here in verse 22, says the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And the great benefit of God, who is our Redeemer. So some of the promises, and I think that's a good, we know that as we walk with the Lord, as we look in his word, and we desire to know him, and we learn of these great attributes and these promises that we have of God as he's revealed himself. So what is our response to our great God? And the way that this psalm flows, there are several items that are repeated. So I wanted to share just a few principles of our response to our great God as we seek, as it says in verse 3, to magnify the Lord, to praise his greatness. Five principles for us from this psalm. First of all, praise the Lord personally, continually, and congregationally. I know that's a lot, but praise the Lord personally, continually, and congregationally. These great verses in verse 1 through 3. It says, bless the Lord at all times. What does it mean to bless? Well, it means to speak well of, to speak favor of. When God blesses, or we see blessing in the Bible, it's favorable words spoken of. And that's what we bless the Lord. We speak favorable words, not just empty words, of course, from our lips, but from our very hearts, to speak well of God. And how do we do that? How is that to be done? At all times, his praise will continually be in my mouth. So as we praise him personally, we praise him continually. What's the key? Verse 2 says, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. And I love, don't you just love the abounding words of that verse, that my soul makes its boast in him. This is not just vain words out of an empty heart. This is a heart that's abounding in praise and overflowing to praise God. My soul makes its boast in him. So we're to praise him personally. Here, look at all the personal pronouns. I will bless the Lord. His praise is in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. It's to be continual, but it's also to be congregational. Verse 3 is so important and gives us such a great principle of worshiping the Lord together. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And that's really a theme throughout this psalm. God has rescued, he has saved this poor man, the psalmist. He is full of praise for God, and not only the vertical, but he wants to praise God, and he wants everybody as well to join in that praise, worshiping the Lord and witnessing to others. And I think that's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ as we worship together, when we gather together. I love this verse. It's, oh, magnify the Lord with me. It's kind of like we have our arm around each other. You know, we're coming. Come on, let's go. Let's worship the Lord together. Beautiful words of community. And I think, you know, sometimes we're a very individualistic society, aren't we? It can become very, very, it's in our DNA. It's part of our heart that's prone to wander, but we can be very, very individualistic. And of course, we have a personal responsibility. And throughout the Psalms, we have many instances of personal praise. I will praise the Lord. I love you, Lord. It's very appropriate to sing and to say those words. But it's left incomplete if it's not part of a congregation. And notice the plural here, that magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. And so it's an important principle, even in our worship, as we gather of the body of Christ. So we come as individuals to praise his name, but we come with the great benefit of the body of Christ and of worshiping him together. Praise the Lord personally, continually, and congregationally. Second principle, verses 4 through 10, seek the Lord with all of your heart. Seek the Lord with all of your heart. That's stated in different ways in these verses. Verse 4, very directly, I sought the Lord, he answered me. Verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. Verse 6, this poor man cried, the Lord heard him. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 9, fear the Lord, you his saints. Verse 10, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. All different ways of saying to seek the Lord with all of our heart, to look to him, to cry out to him in times of trouble, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Isn't that a beautiful verse, a familiar verse, Psalm 34, 8. And the tasting is not just a sip, not just putting our tongue to a, it's not just a sip, it's tasting, it's experiencing that the Lord is good. And it's reflective of all of these verses and pursuing God. We know that there's none who seeks after God. He plants that seed in our hearts to desire him. That's part of his great grace. But once redeemed, we're to pursue God. We're to seek him, not just, not just at the periphery of our lives, obviously, but we're to be seeking him, to be pursuing him in all that we do. Seek the Lord with all of your heart. A third principle in verses 11 and 12, listen and learn. Listen and learn. Verse 11, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Speaks in 1 Corinthians that knowledge can puff up, but love edifies. So we're not just seeking knowledge for information's sake, so that we can know more than the person next to us, but we're to be ever learning of the greatness of God, ever growing in our relationship with him. You know, the way we're set up sometimes in learning a trade or a profession, you know, we go to school, we get most of our training, and then we spend the rest of our lives with less training and working. And sometimes that can translate into our Christian life, can it? Where we memorized a bunch of verses when we were kids, maybe, if we had the benefit of growing up in a Christian home. But we kind of coast a little bit as we get older. And the principle here is to be ever learning from the Lord, ever listening. You know, the book of James tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And that bridges over into these next verses here. Third principle, listen and learn. A fourth principle on responding to God here is to be careful to obey. Be careful to obey. John 14, 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me, the Lord said, and I will love him and will show myself to him. Careful to obey our great God. Look at verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. These verses are quoted in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 3. And here's an example. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. And that becomes, I think, sometimes in the church, one of those acceptable sins, gossip. God's command is to keep our tongue from evil. It says in Ephesians, to when talking of sexual immorality, let not even a hint of it be named, spoken among you. And we kind of just drift into a cultural kind of Christianity. But taking out of love and an intensity and a hunger to obey God, here, keep your tongue from evil. Maybe that's one of the principles we can apply. You know, as we Monday and Tuesday, as we walk with the Lord, to be serious about obeying him as best as we can, not just partially, completely, wholeheartedly obeying the Lord at all times, whether seen by others or unseen. Careful to obey. So we have praise the Lord personally, continually, and congregationally. Verses 4 through 10, seek the Lord with all your heart. Third principle, listen and learn. Another principle, be careful to obey. one final principle here that runs throughout this psalm. Preach the gospel to ourselves and others always. Always preach the gospel to ourselves and others. Verse 22, as I mentioned at the beginning, this psalm is an acrostic. It takes the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet and starts each verse with a new thought about God and our response. However, one letter is skipped over between verses 5 and 6. And then verse 22 comes in not as a part of the alphabet at all. So by design, this verse is put here to jump off the page to us. And it says, "The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." So running from the beginning and throughout this psalm and right back again is the theme of redemption. When we say that our soul is boasting in the Lord, we're praising him continually, it's always with the gratefulness that he has redeemed us. Always reminding ourselves of the priority of the gospel, living by it, and of course, sharing it as well. The Lord is our Redeemer. He is our Rescuer. He is our Deliverer. Vicki and I both grew up in Northeast Ohio, and we met in college, but grew up very near each other, and I was blessed to have cousins that lived close by me. We played a lot of sports together. And a cousin that I was probably closest to, I think he was 6 or 7 years old. We had a flash flood in our town, and he got caught in the flood. And just before he was going under, I think it was in some kind of gully or something, but somebody reached in and grabbed him and saved him. And I thought, man, that's a picture of what the Lord does for us. Just before my cousin Bill went under, somebody reached in, grabbed him, saved him. And I remember as a child talking about that, hearing my parents, my uncle, my cousin talk about that. And some of you have probably had maybe you've had an experience where somebody saved your life physically. And how memorable that is. You know, I remember that in our family and how often that was spoken of and how understandably how clear that is. But how much greater, as followers of Christ, do we have the reality that the Lord has, our only hope, has reached down and rescued us. And that should be a constant theme in our lives, always aware, always reminding ourselves of the gospel and always seeking to draw others and share with others. So some principles for us there as we worship the Lord, as we witness of him. And I love back at the beginning of the passage, just to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth, my soul boasting in him. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. We're going to pray together, and I think our students are going to lead us. Come on up, students. They're going to lead us in a final song here. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these great words of life. And I pray that would be true of us as individuals, and that would be true of Calvary Church. And thank you for a church, Father, where so many desire to praise you wholeheartedly. And what an encouragement, what an inspiration that is. And Father, we pray that you would help us, not just on Sunday, but throughout our lives, to bless your name at all times, for you've been so gracious to us. All those who follow Christ have this testimony that we have cried out, poor, helpless, and needy, and you have answered and delivered us. And we say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Father, we thank you for the redemption that we have in Christ. And it is in the great name of our Savior that we pray. Amen.